You are now listening to the one and only Nancy Ruffin.
You are tuned in to the Nancy Ruffin Show, a digital global classroom where individuals across all ages, backgrounds, and career levels tune in for guidance and motivation to live life on their own terms. Hosted by award-winning author, transformation coach, and the self-proclaimed Latina Oprah, The Nancy Ruffin Show is where inspiring thought leaders, modern-day influencers, and social game changers come to discuss their own personal journeys and have real conversations about the journey to success. It's where the next generation of leaders come to tap into their potential, ignite their fire, and expand their self-awareness. So if you're ready to power up and blaze trails of positive change, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode of the Nancy Ruffin Show. I am your host, Nancy Ruffin, and as always, I am grateful that you have decided to join me yet again for another amazing show. I hope that you guys have had an amazing weekend. We are now in August, which means that the summer is almost over. Soon the kids will be going back to school. We're going to have to start that back to school shopping. We should be receiving the dreaded list from the schools about all the school supplies that we need to buy. You know, I always, when I first got that list, you know, because I'm a relatively new mom, my daughter is entering the second grade now. And when I first got that list, it really took me aback because I don't recall parents having to provide school supplies for their children when I was a child going to school. I mean, other than basic notebook, you know, pencil and a book bag, that was all the parents were really required to purchase for their children. Now they send a list talking about you gotta buy paper towels, Clorox wipes, you know, crayons, markers, this, that, and the third. It's like, it's nonstop. And then they tell you exactly what to buy, where to buy it from. So it's not like you could even bargain shop and try to, you know, find the store where it's the cheapest. No, they tell you where to get it from. Look, you parents out there, I know y'all feel me on this. Let me just do a woosah. But yeah, so we're going to have to be doing all of these back to school shopping soon. So I'm really trying to just enjoy my summer. As many of you know, I took a brief hiatus for the month of July just because I needed some time for myself to get realigned, refocused. This is something that I stress to you all the time. It is not good when we are working ourselves to the point of exhaustion. I know that society will have you believe that you have to work yourself to the bone until you're dead tired in order to make your dreams come true. But I will tell you that is a bold-faced lie. And if you don't give yourself an opportunity to rest and take time out to really re-energize yourself and refuel, you are going to burn out. And not only are you going to burn out, you're going to make yourself sick. And then when you're sick, you really can't do anything. You can't work because you're going to be trying to make yourself better. So take those much needed breaks. Doesn't matter what your friend is doing. Doesn't matter what this influencer is doing or that person, you know, who you follow on Instagram, who inspires you and makes it seem like it's easy. I guarantee you that they have their own, you know, self-care hacks that they do. You have to make sure to give back to yourself. And sometime just taking a pause and resting is what you need. So that was what I did for the month of July. I'm back and I'm ready to kick off this next season full of vigor and just I'm energized and I'm excited about the direction that I'm going. I'm still working on finalizing the book that I'm co-writing. I also have a few things in the works as far as workshops come along with The Fierce Woman. I'm also getting in gear as we speak for the back to school backpack drive that I participate in every year. So for those of you who are listening who want to get involved, make sure you shoot me a DM, shoot me a message, because we need all hands on deck. Last year we were able to collect over $60,000, well, fundraise over $60,000, and we were able to distribute 10,000 backpacks, and we went out into the streets in our communities. We were in Brooklyn, in Queens, in Harlem, Staten Island, all throughout New York City. We were out in the streets giving these backpacks to the community and to those who needed it. So I am in full gear getting ready to launch that. I have partnered once again with Melody Centeno from Foster Care Unplugged, as well as the good old boys from PCNY. And so I'm excited. One of the things that I love to do is give back. It's one of the things that fulfills me most. In addition to that, I'm just pretty much enjoying life. This past weekend, I had an opportunity to kick it with my family and friends. We were celebrating a couple of birthdays. My mom is visiting from Florida, so it's always great to have her. But all in all, I feel so good. I guess another thing I want to keep you guys updated on, for those of you who have been following my health journey, you might be aware that a couple of months ago I had a health scare where I thought that I may have had breast cancer because they found a mass in my right breast. Turns out to be a radial scar. So it's just basically it's breast tissue that when you do a mammogram or an MRI, it shows up on these images and it looks cancerous. But one of the things that my doctor said is that when patients have these radial scars, that the recommendation is to have them removed because not only do they mirror the signs of breast cancer, sometimes they hide cancer because of the way that they look. And for that reason, they recommended for me to have it removed. So this past week, I met with the breast surgeon and she agreed with the assessment of the doctor, the radiologist, and my PCP. So we are taking this thing out. My surgery date is set for September. I will tell you that surgery scares the crap out of me. Even though it's routine surgery, even though they say that I will be back, you know, to my normal activities within a couple of days, it's still scary. Anytime that you have to go under sedation, and anytime that they have to open you up, there's a risk. You know, infection is real and people have died from infections from surgeries before. And so not trying to think about that. I am trying to stay positive. I give everything to God. I put it in His hands, but I'm human. And so in my humanity, I think about these things. So I'm asking you all to just say a little prayer for me. The closer that we get to the surgery day, of course, I'm probably going to continue to talk about this. Because you guys are my people, and as many of you who say that I inspire you and uplift you up and all of those great things, you all do the same for me. And so when I come on here and I share these personal things, is because I'm looking to my community to hold me up. So just keep me in prayer, guys. But with that said, I'm excited for this week's episode because I got an opportunity to interview one of my favorite women. One of the things that I really love about this platform is that it allows me to shine the light on extraordinary women who are out there just doing the damn thing. And this is a woman who kind of stepped out on faith. She believed in herself and she believed in her dream, and she went out and started her own business, you know. And I know that there's many of us out there who have either done the same, or maybe you're contemplating about starting your own business and you're not sure whether you should take the leap. But this woman did, and she has been extremely successful in the entertainment industry. She opened her own public relations agency. She reps some of the best known names in entertainment, and she is thriving and succeeding, all while being a wife, being a hands-on mom, you know, and also being a girl's girl. And what I mean by that is that she has also dedicated her platform to empowering and helping other women, and in her own way, shining the light on women who are doing really great things. And she goes into all of this in our interview, so I'm not going to give away too much, but sit tight. And when we come back, check out my interview with the one and only Nakia McLean.
My name is Avery Ruffin, and you're listening to The Nancy Ruffin Show.
First of all, thank you for being on. Everything. What's happening?
No, thank you for having me. Seriously, I really appreciate it. Everything has been well. I just got back from LA. It was very successful. And then my husband surprised me by staying home, so that was even better. So I really just kind of been resting, because, you know, going from the West Coast to the East Coast can be a bit tiring.
Yes.
And then I didn't have a direct flight. I had a connecting flight. So I got in this morning. But no, everything is well. All is well.
And how are you doing with adjusting to the time difference? Because I know that there's a time difference between LA and the East Coast.
Yeah. Well, my son had tutoring this evening, and his tutor was like, don't go back to sleep. And I was like, no. I was like, I'm not. I was like, because it's so funny. I was like, I'm doing a podcast, so it's perfect. I'm not going back to sleep. So I'll go back to sleep tonight and then just sleep through the night. So I should be fine. It was just tiring because of the connecting flight, but I took full advantage. Like, I didn't have anyone in my row coming back, so I watched like two movies. I was like, nice. I'm not going to go to sleep, because if I go to sleep, I'm going to be off track. So I didn't do it.
Well, good for you. So I just want to officially introduce you to my audience, because we're talking and they have no idea who I'm speaking to. But this is the one and only Nakia McLean. She is a self-made, you know, brand marketing PR guru. She has worked with some of the, you know, most popular names in the business. And it's just an honor to have you with me on the Nancy Ruffin Show. So Nakia, thank you for being on. And I really just want us, you know, to kind of talk about your journey, you know, and how you have been able to transition between industries, because from what I've read about you, you used to be in real estate before you got into the entertainment industry, correct?
Correct. I, and again, real estate, you know, it was something that I had to do. My youngest son was born prematurely. My water broke at 26 weeks, and I was in the hospital with him until he was born, which was at 29 weeks. But then he had to do, he did 3 months in in the NICU, and then a month in rehabilitation. So during that time, I had worked. Right. I didn't take maternity leave. And then when it was time for me to take maternity leave, my boss was having a hard time with it. And so good. Right. It made me feel value, like, OK, you're needed. But my son needed me more. So eventually I got fired. And because he was a broker, it made it an easy transition for me to kind of just jump into real estate. So it wasn't it was sort of like what I had to do, because, you know, my husband, we just bought this house, and, you know, I didn't want all the burden to be on him, which eventually it was on him when I decided I was going to start my own business. But it was just kind of out of a need. I just wanted to make sure that I was still working, doing something to bring money into the house. And I was really good at it. I was very, you know, successful as a real estate agent. And then I just kind of one day told him that I was going to start my own PR firm. And that was 7 years ago. And I've been going strong ever since.
Let me tell you that when I, you know, started researching you and kind of reading your story, I was just so in awe, you know, because kind of going out on your own in any, you know, whenever you're doing that in any field, any industry, is a huge, you know, step even more so when, you know, you're married and you have a family and then you're brand new into this industry, right? Because did you have any prior public relations experience before you decided this is what you wanted to do?
No, I'm a Gemini. So we are just skilled communicators. I think from the jump, so I had no background in PR. Yet when I was younger, people will always be like, oh my goodness, you should get into public relations because you have a great personality. You have, you know, you're always talking to people. And honestly, I really didn't pay much attention to it other than seeing, I believe it was like Lizzie Krugman who had a show. And at that point, you're like, oh yeah, I could do that. But I had no background in PR. I did have a bachelor's in business administration. So when I did tell my husband I wanted to start this PR firm, of course, it was kind of left field for him, right? Because one, he never did PR. And two, you know, what do you mean you're just going to start your own PR firm? And I kind of just, you know, set out to do it that way. My first client, I kid you not, I think they were paying me like $300 a month, which is, you know, a publicist would never make that kind of money, like, you know, just $300 a month. But I did, I just stayed consistent. Like, you know, I knew that I put a business plan together and I knew that my business would grow. And I think that because I had that bachelor's degree in business administration, it kind of set the foundation for pushing myself forward. I did go back to school and get my master's in strategic public relations from George Washington University. And what that did was give me tools that I may have not had or just kind of put a name to what I was already doing.
Right.
But honestly, I think, you know, not having a background in PR really just allowed me to carve out, you know, a path for myself, right? I didn't, I would tell you that media people didn't take me seriously in the beginning when I would try to pitch them. Of course, my pitches would be like grammatically incorrect or I wasn't saying the proper language. And but again, I made those mistakes. I corrected them. I mean, I would send out an email and if it had an error, I would just put in the subject line, you know, corrected press release. You know, I would own up to those mistakes. But I would still remain consistent and efficient in what I do. And eventually it grew. You know, the company has grown in the 7 years. We represent some amazing, amazing, amazing brands, like one being One Solution, which is the largest urban digital media platform in the country. We have Urban Hydration, which is available in more than 12,000 stores. That includes Target, CVS, JCPenney's, Macy's. So we have been able to really, really scale and grow the business. And I do it at, you know, it's all been by referral. We don't have a sales force in place.
Right.
So I think that really speaks to, you know, how seriously I take what I do.
So when we're talking about public relations, I mean, was this something that you had always wanted to get into, or is just as you said, because you were great at communicating, that it kind of fell in line with more of your personality and what you were comfortable doing?
You know, honestly, it was not something I didn't know what I was going to end up doing.
Right.
And it's so funny because I did real estate, but I would do parties on the side.
Right.
And it honestly fell into my lap. I had a partner. We would do these amazing events. We had a celebrity event, I would say, and the person, you know, backed out of it at the last minute. And I had to come up with this money for the venue. My husband made sure that happened. You know, I still had to make sure it happened.
Right.
And it was an amazing event. And I remember my first client came to this event and saw me in action and thought I was actually the talent publicist and was like, oh my goodness, you have to do my PR. I see you come in here, lay this joint out. Everyone's having a good time. I don't know who you are, but I need you. And I mean, as stressful as that event was, and I mean, I think I came home and just cried some real tears because I couldn't believe I pulled it off. And I just, And that was it. That was January 1st, 2011. So that was like my, I was like reborn. And I told my husband, I was like, that's it. I'm going to be a publicist. I'm going to start my own PR firm. And that really is what started the path. And I can honestly tell you, I know it's my purpose because even after doing this for 7 years, I get nervous about, you know, like I just came off of BET weekend. Is it going to be amazing? Am I going to make this happen? And when you know that, like when you're still nervous about, you know, what you're doing, I know I'm in my purpose. Yeah. I know it's exactly the path that I'm supposed to be on.
You know, and it's so great, this particular story, because I think so many of us spend a lot of our lives, right, thinking about purpose, you know, and we're trying to figure it out. And, you know, in some of the work that I do, you know, women are always asking me, like, how do you figure that out? But I think in your case, your purpose found you, and it was just a natural alignment between what you were good at doing, which was the communication and really producing under pressure. And then it was married, you know, with the business background that you had. And then in the midst of all of that, you discovered that it was something that you loved and you were passionate about. And now being in it for so long and succeeding and being great, that you know that this was what you were meant to do.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, for me, because I had so many convictions, because there were so many things going on, right? Like, I started this company, I'm a full-time mom, I'm a full-time wife, so you know what that means. That means that people and things are going to have to take a back burner to what I'm doing, and that can be challenging, and that can be difficult. And as challenging as it was, you know, like, I remember clear as day, my son, senior year, he's been playing football since he was 7. Like, I've never missed a game. Even to the point when we bought a house, my husband had to come to the walkthrough because I wasn't missing his game. And when I started the company, you know, when you're that entrepreneur and you're hungry and, you know, you're chasing money because, you know, that's how you survive as an entrepreneur. You know, I told this one potential client, okay, I'm going to meet you for breakfast and I'm going to get back and I'm going to make empanadas and I'm going to make it to my son's game. Well, I met the client, made the empanadas, made it to my son's game, but I missed his senior moment where the parents walk their kid across the field.
Right.
That right there was like a punch in the stomach. Right.
Right.
And again, just the tears flowing. And at that moment, I could have just been like, okay, that's it. I'm done. As a mom, you know, because we never want to disappoint our kids. And it was like, no, I had to keep going. You know, even as you being a mother and a wife, you know, it would be difficult sometimes even for me and my husband when I was growing this business. And that's difficult, right? Because you want to know that, you know, we all are supporting each other, but it's also difficult for them because I'm doing something that I've never done.
Right.
But again, I just fought through that. And now, you know, my family is my biggest supporter. You know, my husband is the one, after I have a long day, when I come in, that's who I call, you know, to, you know, if it didn't go well, you know, you're amazing. You're still amazing. You know, that picks
right.
me up.
Right.
So again, that's how I knew, like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It challenges me. It still scares me. And, you know, you still feel compelled to, like, just being your best at it. So that's how I knew this is what I was supposed to be doing. And of course, expanding on it, right? As we grow, things have to grow, creating just new opportunities, things, other branding opportunities to bring more visibility to the brand and to the client. And again, we're creating that. So, but still staying aligned with what I'm doing.
You know, I can totally relate with, you know, with being a mom and, you know, and trying to, and I don't say balance, because I don't think we can ever balance everything that we do as women and all the multiple hats that we wear and the roles that we play. Like, I really believe that it's a juggling act that we do, and that there's always one ball in the air, right? We're just not trying to let anything drop, but we're human, and sometimes we drop a ball, right? And it's kind of like what you were just talking about, where you missed that moment with, you know, with your son and being able to walk him across the field. How do you reconcile those moments where maybe you drop the ball, maybe you feel guilty? And I say this on behalf of myself too. There are times where I just, I, I miss things because we're human, right? And then it's like, yeah. Wow. How do you reconcile that within yourself? Because I think our children forgive us. You know what I mean? I think that.
Well, that's the thing about them. That's the thing about our children, right? Our children are our children. Our husbands are our husbands.
Right.
Our children, it is an unconditional love that is undeniable. So, you know, that was a disappointment for him. And there are just times where the kids are just sometimes disappointed. So what I try to do is incorporate them into what I'm doing. Like, even now that I'm traveling more, you know, I took my younger children with me to Atlanta when we had a client for Super Bowl weekend, just trying to make sure that they're there. But right. Then I've been doing this since my older two were young. Every spring break, I would take them away where it's just me and them. And that would be our time. And I mean, I've been doing this since the older two, I mean, 24 and 22.
Right.
Since they were little, like, that's our time. And so I do the same thing with the younger two now, where that is our thing. It's not dad. And the older two, you know, they're older. So they're like, no, mom, we're done with spring break. We're going on spring break with our friends. And I respect that. But the little ones that are still home, you know, I just devote that time to them. And I'm telling you, they love it. There is no screaming, yelling. Mm-hmm. No one's doing anything wrong. It's just our time to be together and have fun and be in that moment. And then there are times, you know, like, I don't like my kids to be the last children picked up. But then there are times that they have to be the last children picked up. And it's just having that conversation with them. But I think what my kids love is that I always keep my promises. I don't break promises to them. So that's important. So I think that allows me to just be an amazing mom and boss and, you know, entrepreneur, because when they ask me for something and I promise it, I stick to it. I don't break promises.
Right. Well, and I think that that's important. I think that
I think that's the balance.
But it also, I think, speaks to, I think, why you're so successful as well in your business, because you have that character trait within you. So, your clients come to trust that no matter what happens, right, that it's always going to be a go. You know, that when you promise something, you're going to deliver it regardless of whatever obstacles or setbacks or things that are unexpected, you know, arise, that you can be counted on. So I think that
absolutely. That's,
it says a lot about who you are. And I think the success that you've seen and why your business continues to grow.
Well, I never wanted to speak out of the side of my mouth. I always believe in being honest. And then one of the things that they teach you, when I went to George Washington University for my master's in public relations, was you had to take an oath to integrity. And integrity is big to me. And even if I make a mistake, I'm very honest about that mistake. I never try to make promises that I can't keep to clients. I'm very clear on saying, okay, this is what we're going to get done. Like, for example, this past weekend at the BET Awards, a client, you know, the goal was to get that live, right? To get that live feed, to have her while they were live from the carpet. And guess what? I was able to make that happen. So that is the sort of thing that I really listen to clients. Another client, we did an event, Beyonce was there. The client was like, you know, I really want to meet Beyonce. And the fact that I was able to make that happen, and not because I know Beyonce, but because another PR sister of mine, Dora, who I absolutely love, she vouched for me. She said to Beyonce's publicist, like, no, this is Nakia. Like, please let her client meet her. And they had that photo opportunity. But that is just coming from, you know, being sincere, being a person of your word, definitely supporting others. And that's how that was able to facilitate. So I'm just a true person of, I treat people seriously the way that I want to be treated. I try to be as professional as I can be. And, you know, you can deal with people and sometimes they can come off crazy to you and that you just want to snap back. And I don't do that. I just still just come with integrity. So at the end of the day, any client, regardless of who they are, if we decide we're not working together, they will never have anything negative to say. They'll never say she didn't do her job. That it is very important to me that I stay professional and I really, really practice integrity.
You know, I think that it's refreshing to hear that, right? Because when we think about historically just the entertainment industry, and when we hear stories, you know,
there's a lot of shady stuff that happens, you know, and the fact that you have been able to not compromise who you are, your morals, your values, within an industry that's so finicky, right? I think that says a lot about the work that you're doing and how passionate that you are and how important it is to you to make sure that you maintain those great relationships with your clients. And I think that's another reason why you're probably still continuing to grow, because as you said, that most of your business is by word of mouth. You're getting the referrals.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So
and
I think
we also, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. And I'm going to follow up with another question.
No, I was just going to say that relationships are so important and key to any business, especially entrepreneurs. And I think any business can be finicky because oftentimes people, you know, they always want something, right? Like
yeah.
You meet someone and immediately they're like, well, what can you do for me? That's not my case. And you know that in PR, it really is about your relationships, right? Being able to call someone and be like, hey, I have a client coming in town and this is the initiative we're working on. And I would love to schedule them for like a radio interview or a television segment. That's very difficult if you don't have those relationships. However, as important as I needed those relationships, it was even more important that I nurtured them. So I never would ask anyone, okay, what can you do for me? It was really about, and think about it, think about our own personal relationship. How long have we known each other?
Right.
I've always known you had a podcast. I've never asked to join the podcast. It really was always about me and you building our relationship.
Yes.
Even down to, you know, me inviting you on the Support Your Girlfriend trip, because that's just another way for us to connect.
Right.
As I grow in business, I really try to surround myself with people that just kind of foster the same energy that I have.
Yeah, and I have to say that your energy really is palpable. Like we have not met face to face yet. We haven't been in the same space, right? But there is a genuineness about you, an authentic desire for you to really connect with the people that you're connected to. And I think that's why it makes our relationship that much more organic, because it's really growing at its own pace, but based on, I believe, the mutual respect that we both have for each other. And for me, you know, as I watch you and I see what you're doing, it's almost like I'm watching with a sense of pride, right? Because, you know, when I look at you, I
see
myself, you know, I try to... see the best parts of people, right? And there's so much of what you do that just really speaks to me on a personal sister, you know, level. And I commend you for that, because it's so hard, especially, and I'm sure that you might agree, in this day and age where everyone is just trying to be noticed, everybody wants to be seen, everyone wants to build their brand, that a lot of times the focus is on me. But I don't get that when I look at you. Like, I really see, when I look at you, I really see someone who wants to build and connect with others. And so you're doing
absolutely.
That.
Well, first of all, I just want to say that means a lot to me. Like, that, you know, I thank you, Nancy, for all of that. that means a lot to me. But yeah, I just, really, I was there. You know, I was that person when I started this company 7 years ago, that when I looked at others, I would, you know, get a little jealous and be like, oh my goodness, how is this happening? And then I had to check myself,
right.
You know, and oftentimes we don't want to do that. You know, it's like, why am I worried? And I've never been like a jealous girl of other girls. And I don't know if that's because I was hung out with dudes when I was younger. I never felt threatened by anyone. I just never been that type of girl. And so as I got into business, it can be a little, you know, intimidating. You know, you can feel a little envious because you're looking at others. And I was like, nope, I'm done. I'm not going to do that. That cannot be my focus. My focus has to be to Nay Nicole, this brand, and how I'm going to take it to the next level. And once I started doing that, the vision got even clearer, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how I created the Art of Luxury series. And with that series, that brought, you know, when I would do the gifting suites, that is how I connect with some of the players and their publicists. And then I would do the private media dinner, and that allowed me to connect with the media, because now they were taking me seriously because I'm putting, you know, number one draft picks at the table with them, you know. And then we would do our mix and mingle, and it just grew from there. And again, I always continue to work on myself and, you know, working on press releases, working on my media pitches, you know, going back to college, again, just really, really trying to grow the brand, and not do it from, well, let me take this person down and let me take this person down. And I will tell you, recently I had a client, we did an initiative for them. And when I went to their office, you know, I was told, oh my goodness, I heard it was amazing. And then the client texted me and was like, oh, you know, the team felt they could have got a big hit. And I was like, well, that's different because I just heard it was amazing.
Right.
And the client was like, who said that? And I could immediately have said, well, this person said it.
Right.
I said, you know what? I said, I'm taking in everything you said. And I promise you that the next one, it's going to be even more successful.
Right.
That is when you have to also understand that if we continue to just, you know, pick apart everyone else just to make ourselves look good, I could have easily said, well, this person said that. That's how I know it was. I could not do that. And I would not do that. You know, it's always being aware of that too. Being aware that sometimes people, you know, play others against one another. I don't want to be that person.
Right.
I really just want to focus on today, Nicole, the clients, and seriously grow this business. And I think I treat my clients like their family. I swear I act like they're my children. And I think because I do that, I honestly do. I have to treat them like they're my children. I have to schedule the time with them because it's really not about balance for me. For me, it's about, you know, time structure, you know, how am I going to do this? How am I going to put this in place? And I honestly treat my clients like they're my children, like family. So it's all factoring. So I'm looking out for everyone. And so they trust me.
You mentioned the retreat that you have planned for next month, which sounds so amazing. And I'm so sad that I won't be able to join you. But can you talk a little
That's
bit?
Okay, about... you'll be there next year.
yes. I'm looking forward to that. But talk a little bit. This is the third year that you're doing this. It's the Support Your Girlfriends retreat, right?
Yes. I'm so excited. So again, as I was talking about how can I grow the brand, you know, I was getting sick and tired of not having a seat at the table. And that's okay. I was like, I'm going to prepare my own table. I have an amazing partnership with Palace Resorts. This is going to be its third year at their Moon Palace Jamaica property. That we're taking 30 women this year.
Wow.
It's all paid for. The only thing the women have to do is get their flights. And we don't bring in other women to kind of talk to us or to, you know, facilitate this retreat.
Right.
I really go to my friends and the core women that attend this trip and say, hey, I would love for you to present a workshop on this. And it's in a very intimate setting. Last year, oh my goodness, we cried every single day.
I saw all the posts from that event.
Nancy,
and I was like, oh my God, these girls are like having an amazing time.
We had the best time of our lives. When I tell you, we connected, we bonded. Tamika Mallory is a good friend, and you know, Tamika is really putting herself out there, champion for, you know, people of color.
Yes.
And she said to me that she trusts me, and that meant a lot to me because, you know, this is not a trip you come on where we have sponsors, and no, this is a trip where we truly, truly are our authentic selves, and you have women that are supporting you. We have a group chat that we are all in every day. You know, everyone is supporting someone. Just last week, I was at an event at ABFF. One of my Gloss sisters came in. I mean, there's always someone in the room to support you. And that is big. I think as we grow in business, we tend to think that it's lonely at the top. And I wanted people to know that it's not lonely.
Mm.
That we need women that support us. There are days when I have a bad day, and my girls will tell me that, you're the bomb, boo. That's okay. It's going to be okay. You know, it's having that support. And then there's just your sisters that are like, that want to push you to the next level. And there's sisters that, you know, you want to hold you accountable. And that's what this support your girlfriends is really about. It's about supporting your girlfriends. And for me, you know, I wanted to show women what support looks like for me. And I think that the women that have been coming so far are truly, truly filling and getting that from the women that I continue to put together. And again, this is not a click. It's just I try to show the value to the Palace Resort based on the influencers and the media that we bring. But next year, I'm going to be working with them to make this a full-size retreat where women can come. And again, it's just growing it, really, really growing the brand. But just an extension of Tenae Nicole through Support Your Girlfriend. And there are three mantras. There's support her, power her, and celebrate her. And then, of course, we have the Power Her Awards, which are in November.
Very nice. Very nice. And, you know, historically, you know, women have been pitted against each other, and we've been conditioned to look at each other as competition, you know, instead of supporting one another, instead of collaborating with each other. And so clearly you're doing your part to dismantle that, right? But you're still only one person, right? What do you think other women can do in their own circles of influence to be better sisters to each other? I mean, even on social media, like what can we be doing, you know, to really walk the talk of support and empowerment when it comes to other women?
I think for one, we can, you know, for me, I would say that women should get their core women together and really just start having conversations about just life. I think we are just not, we're living in a world where we all just want to look like we have it all together, and we just don't. We do not have it all together. We need to, you know, I would tell women, if you want to start fostering support and coming together, grab your girls, even if it's five of them, six of them, and pull each other together. Get that glass of wine out, order some food, and check in. Check in with them. Hey, how's it going? How is life for you? You know, are you going through anything? And I would tell women, be honest. Speak up.
Yeah.
Say the things that are happening. For me, in October, I was going through something very seriously. And when I tell you, my girl, we went to an event. We were at an event, okay? My girl, Sharia, was holding my hand, rubbing my back at an event, okay?
Right, yeah.
So that is the kind of support you need. You have to be honest, and you have to share, and we don't do it. Think about it. Our men don't even do it, right? Men don't even do it. Women, we talk. We run our mouths, but even at times when we run our mouths, we still want to act like, you know, things are so together.
Yeah,
kids are crave, and that has never been my life. I've always been honest. So honest, my husband would be like, can you please close your mouth? So that is just who I am, right? It is like, I'm very honest about everything that happens. And again, I'm very thankful, and I thank God for the life he has given me. But I would say, you know, women, start getting your core girls together. You know, don't make it just about, oh, let's go have a night on the town. No, stay in.
Yeah.
You know, talk to each other. See what's going on. And I'm telling you, once people start opening up, that can really start to gain some support. And then you'll think, guess what? They'll want to do it again next month. And then, you know, that'll turn into, we should go away. That's how it is.
You know, so, I mean, and you're right. I think you hit the nail right on the head when you said, you know, be honest. I think that a lot of times we wear these masks, even with our girlfriends, because we don't want, you know, to divulge some of the things that may be happening in our lives, either because we're embarrassed, we don't want to seem like we're failing, you know. But I think that when we get to that point or to that level where we can remove the masks and really be honest with our girlfriends, we will see that we're not the only ones in that space, you know, because all it takes is one person to talk, and then everyone, it's like the floodgates open, and everyone now has a lot of stuff to share. So I think that was
absolutely
that was great advice. Check in with your girls and be honest. So I want to ask you, with all the stuff you have going on, as busy as you are, you're this super successful, you know, PR mogul. You have a beautiful family. you know, how do you take time for yourself to just make sure that you're good, you're that emotionally, mentally, spiritually, that you're giving back to Nakia everything that you're giving out to everyone else?
Well, you know, sometimes I don't, right? Because again, we do so much for others that we don't do enough for ourselves. And I battle with some kind of depression at like the top of the year, right? And I mean, I go through it. For the past 3 years, I've been going through it to the point where I'm just like in tears, like gut wrenching, but I'm aware of it, right? I'm very clear on how I'm feeling. I definitely share with my husband, like, I'm going through something. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the season. I don't know if I'm being reborn. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you that I can be in the tub, gut-wrenching, crying, right? Mm-hmm. But I have to go through it. So I go through that. But then I also take time out to go to the spa, and I get lost there. I go to a spa in Fort Lee called Four Seasons. You are literally in there for 4 hours. You can't even think about anything else. Yeah. There is nothing else for you to think about. And I get away. My husband will tell, if I'd be like, babe, we got to go.
Right.
And he will tell me, he'd be like, babe, we need to make sure things are in order. And I'd be like, no, babe, I need to go. We need to go. We have to go away. I need peace and mind. I need the beach. I need the water. I need to hear it. And he'll tell you, we'll go away. You know what I'm doing? I'm sleeping on the beach. He's like, what is the purpose of going away when all you do is just go out to the water and you sleep? That's what I need. I need that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think it's important for us as women to share this. You know, a lot of my audience is women. And a lot of the messages that I get oftentimes, you know, is how do you do it? How do I do it all? And so it's always great for when I have women on, you know, to talk about how they do it. And it's really about being intentional with taking those breaks when you need them, right? And knowing yourself, knowing what it is that you need, and giving yourself that, and not allowing yourself to be so consumed with the work at the expense of your own health. You know, so I think that you've shared some really great tools, some great examples, you know, and I hope that my listeners out there, you know, realize we don't have to do it all at the same time. And it's okay to take those breaks, and it's okay to put yourself first and go on vacation and be with your spouse, you know, or your partner, you know, and the work is always going to be there, right?
Yeah. And you know what? You have to, first of all, you have to, like, you know what I did last year with my husband? I was like, I'm not taking the kids in the morning. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, I'm not taking the kids in the morning. And my son is a battle every single morning. And I am not allowing him to mess up my day. I kid you not, Nancy. I was like, I am done taking them in the morning. Let me tell you something. When their driver comes and picks them up, and I'm like, okay, bye. My son is so sad. He's like, Mom. I'm like, nope, I can't do it. And so when we lost her because she had some things that were going on, right, I was back to taking him in the morning. And I kid you not, I remember 2 weeks ago calling my husband because my son was on. When I tell you, we were going back and forth, I called him. And my husband was like, well, what do you want me to do? I was like, I know you're going to stay on this phone with me because if I got to deal with it, you're going to deal with it. So you got to be willing to be like, don't feel guilty as moms to be like, you know what? I'm not doing that. I'm going to have somebody else do that. I don't want to clean my house. There's just little things that I just don't want to do so I can have some time for myself. And when I'm ever like going through things, I pray every single night. There is not, if I miss it, I'll wake up in the morning, but I pray every night. I'm not asking for nothing. I'm just thanking God. I'm always telling him, thank you for being better to me than I am to myself. Thank you for every opportunity you give me. Thank you for the good. Thank you for the bad. Mm. And I think it's just always, I'm always just trying to be present, but also just recognizing that I need some me time. There are times when my husband would come in, I'm like, I'm not cooking. I'm not doing it.
Right.
I cannot be Susie Baker all the time. I can't. And you know what? He will step in. And then I also tell him, I tell clients, don't schedule me for the weekend unless it's something major, because that is my family's time.
Right. Yes. So boundary.
That is their time. And then I tell my husband, I'm not cooking on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. I can't. I am done. I can't do it. And there are times that I will step up if I have to cook, but right. No,
I get it.
You hear me in the background?
I'm lazy. let me say, I completely understand. Our lives are very similar, even down to your son, because he sounds like he's like my youngest daughter who gives me, you know, hell every single morning too. But yeah, you know, you're right. You have to set those boundaries, and you know, you have to be able to dictate what your time is going to be like. Right? There's a time for work. There's a time for family. Then there's a time for you, and you have to be able to carve that out. So let me ask you, knowing what you know now, knowing about the path that you've taken, all of the challenges that you've overcome, you know, the great life that you're living now, what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
You know, I just got asked this question, but it was in a different format. Like, what would you do different? My 20-year-old self, I don't know, because at 20 years old, I was falling in love with myself. You know, you know a little bit about my backstory, like being a teenage mom, and you know, so at 20, I was already falling in love with myself. So I probably was already having that conversation with myself. But I got to be honest with you, Nancy. I wouldn't change anything. I think what has happened has made me, just when I think about, you know, in my 20s, I was sometimes a bit pretentious, a little stuck up, you know, not, you know, paying other people's needs any attention. It really was just about me and the kids. So I don't think I would, you know, I don't know what I would tell my 20-year-old self other than what I was telling myself, which is, girl, you are beautiful. You can do this. You can make it. Those are the conversations I began to have with myself, because prior to that, I never felt good about myself. I was actually just having a conversation with Sabrina Fulton, Trayvon Martin's mom, this Sunday, and our conversation that I had was, I never thought I was pretty. That was just something I never thought as growing up. I didn't see that for myself. And so at 20, I was having those conversations like, no, you are in fact beautiful. Have this. Like, you are going to be amazing. I think everything that has happened led me to who I am today. I'm very humble. I try to give back as much as I can. I truly, truly treat people the way that I want to be treated. And don't get me wrong, I have my bad moments. There are times when I can go off, but I really try my best not to be that person. I really just continue every, you know, chance I can to keep improving, to keep being better, to handle things differently. To pray more. You know, I'm even at a point where I'm like, okay, Nikia, you got to pray over your food. Yesterday traveling, I had basic economy and I was on a connecting flight and I literally was getting ready to spend all this money to get a straight flight because I wanted to get home to my kids. I knew my husband was going to be traveling the week, so I wanted to get home. And I was like really just annoyed and upset. And God was like, sit down, relax. Got to the airport. They put me in Delta Comfort. And then I got the Delta Lounge, right? So I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. Yeah. And then he's even funnier than that. I get to the second flight, and let me tell you how funny he is. I get to the second flight. I'm supposed to be in 30B, middle seat. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to die. I'm the last person on the plane. I go to the front. I was like, is there any way that I could change my seat? The guy was like, let me see your ID. He was like, oh, 1978, that's a good year. He upgraded me to Delta Comfort. I get to my seat. There's no one in the row. Amazing. I said, okay, guys. I was like, I'm done. I was like, okay, I just need to shut up and just be present.
Yes. Oh, I love these stories. You know, and one thing, I guess what I didn't know about you is just how God-centered you are. So this is great. I love to hear.
It's a backstory. You know, I didn't get here. I'm very thankful and appreciative. This, you know, anyone's like, you know, you go through that the left door, or you go through the right door.
Right.
And think about it. Think about people, especially just, you know, I've seen people lose their lives. I've seen just my own parents, right? I was raised by my grandparents. And so not having your parents in your life can also make you spiral downhill, and I was at that point spiraling downhill. So to be where I am today, it is a blessing for me, and I don't take it for granted. And that's why I say, when it comes to life, I take the good, I take the bad. I'm okay with it, but I'm living and I'm present, and that is important to me.
You know, it's like they say that everything that we go through, every single experience, even the most difficult things that we go through, they're happening for us, not to us, right? Because each experience is molding us into who we're supposed to become, right? And had you not gone through everything that you've gone through up till this point, you would not be who you are today. You would be someone else with different experiences and a different outcome. So I totally get the sitting in that gratitude for the good, the bad, for all of it, because it really it creates who we are and who we're ultimately, you know, destined to become. And it, God
that's
is
right.
God
that's
is
right.
A lot of peace in our lives, you know. So let me ask you: when it's all said and done, when you're old and gray and you've done everything that you wanted to do, and it's just you and the hubby, right? The kids are grown, your grandma already. Like, how do you want to be remembered? When they talk about Nakia, what do you want them to say?
I want them to say that she was, I want people to say that she was fair, she was loving, she was honest, she was committed. And to sum me up, I want them to be like, she was everything. You know how you're, you know how you say, like for me with my grandmother, I'm like, my grandmother is everything. She is our foundation. Like, she's given me so much. I want to know that my kids and my, you know, their kids, my grandkids, anyone who has encountered, or come in, has come in contact with me can honestly say, Nakia, she was everything. She was everything you can ever imagine.
Well, I think that you are already on your way. And just for me personally, I look forward to growing in our sisterhood and in our friendship.
Yeah.
You are just, you are a light, is what you are, a beacon of light. And I appreciate you. And just continue to do what you're doing. We need women like you. You know, we need what you're doing. And you're just such an asset, and you're just so valuable. And I don't want to end this conversation.
Well, we need women like you who are, you know, you are amazing. You are phenomenal. Oh my goodness. Again, I never want to do anything, podcast, radio, but I love the platform that you have created and what you're doing. So thank you for just being who you are. And you know, light recognizes light.
Yes, it does, honey. Yes, it does. So I'm not going to keep you any longer. I know it's late. I know you just got back from LA. But
don't worry.
Appreciate the time that you gave me. And I look forward to doing this again in person.
Yes.
So until next time.
I'm looking forward to this.
Okay, honey, well, have an amazing night, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and thank you to your listeners and listening.
Oh, you know what? Before we go, how can they get in contact with you should they want to? Like, what is your social media? Is there a website, you know, where they can go to? Let's plug you in.
Okay. Well, my social media is it's Nakia McLean. That's N-I-K-K-I-A M-C-L-A-I-N. The company's social media is Tene Nicole, T-E-N-E-N-I-C-O-L-E. Our website is just TeneNicole.com. And anyone can just shoot me an email, which is Nakia@TeneNicole.com. So I'm very accessible. I always answer my phone. I always respond to my emails. I'm not bigger than anyone else. So just reach out to me if you want.
Well, there you have it, guys. You can reach out to her. Don't reach out for her, you know, ask nonsense. Make sure that it's something of substance, because she's a busy woman, okay? You know she's busy. So we want to make sure that they're making the best use of your time. But again, thanks for being on. And to my listeners, you know, until next time, go out there, crush those goals, and don't let anybody steal your joy.
Thank you for listening to the Nancy Ruffin Show.